Solomon was gasping, straining to breathe. Moloch saw fear in his victim's eyes and wondered how many people had ever seen the great Peter Solomon cower. Moloch savored the scene for several long seconds. He took a sip of tea, waiting for the man to catch his breath. Solomon was twitching, attempting to speak.
Why?
He finally managed.
Why do you think?
Moloch demanded. Solomon looked truly bewildered.
You want money?
Money? Moloch laughed and took another sip of tea.
I gave the Masons millions of dollars. I have no need of wealth.
I come for wisdom, and he offers me wealth.
Then what do you want?
You possess a secret. You will share it with me tonight.
Solomon struggled to lift his chin so he could look Moloch in the eye.
I don't understand.
No more lies,
Moloch shouted, advancing to within inches of the paralyzed man.
I know what is hidden here in Washington.
Solomon's gray eyes were defiant.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Moloch took another sip of tea and set the cup on a coaster.
You spoke those same words to me 10 years ago, on the night of your mother's death.
Solomon's eyes shot wide open.
You?
She didn't have to die. If you had given me what I demanded.
The older man's face contorted in a mask of horrified recognition and disbelief.
I warned you,
Moloch said.
If you pulled the trigger, I would haunt you forever.
But you're...
Moloch lunged, driving the taser hard into Solomon's chest again. There was another flash of blue light, and Solomon went completely limp. Moloch put the taser back in his pocket and calmly finished his tea. When he was done, he dabbed his lips with a monogrammed linen napkin and peered down at his victim.
Shall we go?
Solomon's body was motionless, but his eyes were wide and engaged. Moloch got down close and whispered in the man's ear.
I'm taking you to a place where only truth remains.
Without another word, Moloch wadded up the monogrammed napkin and stuffed it into Solomon's mouth. Then he hoisted the limp man onto his broad shoulders and headed for the private elevator. On his way out, he picked up Solomon's iPhone and keys from the hall table. Tonight you will tell me all your secrets, Moloch thought, including why you left me for dead all those years ago. Chapter 30 SB Level Senate Basement. Robert Langdon's claustrophobia gripped him more tightly with every hastening step of their descent. As they moved deeper into the building's original foundation, the air became heavy and the ventilation seemed non-existent. The walls down here were an uneven blend of stone and yellow brick. Director Sato typed on her BlackBerry as they walked. Langdon sensed a suspicion in her guarded manner, but the feeling was quickly becoming reciprocal. Sato still hadn't told him how she knew Langdon was here tonight. An issue of national security? He had a hard time understanding any relation between ancient mysticism and national security. Then again, he had a hard time understanding much of anything about this situation. Peter Solomon entrusted me with a talisman. A deluded lunatic tricked me into bringing it to the Capitol and wants me to use it to unlock a mystical portal, possibly in a room called SBB-13. Not exactly a clear picture. As they pressed on, Langdon tried to shake from his mind the horrible image of Peter's tattooed hand, transformed into the hand of the mysteries. The gruesome picture was accompanied by Peter's voice. The ancient mysteries, Robert, have spawned many myths, but that does not mean they themselves are fiction. Despite a career studying mystical symbols and history, Langdon had always struggled intellectually with the idea of the ancient mysteries and their potent promise of apotheosis. Admittedly, the historical record contained indisputable evidence that secret wisdom had been passed down through the ages, apparently having come out of the mystery schools in early Egypt. This knowledge moved underground, resurfacing in Renaissance Europe, where, according to most accounts, it was entrusted to an elite group of scientists within the walls of Europe's premier scientific think tank, the Royal Society of London, enigmatically nicknamed the Invisible College. This concealed college quickly became a brain trust of the world's most enlightened minds, those of Isaac Newton, Francis Bacon, Robert Boyle, and even Benjamin Franklin. Today, the list of modern fellows was no less impressive: Einstein, Hawking, Bohr, and Celsius. These great minds had all made quantum leaps in human understanding, advances that, according to some, were the result of their exposure to ancient wisdom hidden within the Invisible College. Langdon doubted this was true, although certainly there had been an unusual amount of mystical work taking place within those walls. The discovery of Isaac Newton's secret papers in 1936 had stunned the world by revealing Newton's all-consuming passion for the study of ancient alchemy and mystical wisdom. Newton's private papers included a handwritten letter to Robert Boyle in which he exhorted Boyle to keep high silence regarding the mystical knowledge they had learned. "It cannot be communicated," Newton wrote, "without immense damage to the world." The meaning of this strange warning was still being debated today.
"Professor,"
Sato said suddenly, glancing up from her BlackBerry,
"despite your insistence that you have no idea why you're here tonight, perhaps you could shed light on the meaning of Peter Solomon's ring."
"I can try," Langdon said, refocusing. She produced the specimen bag and handed it to Langdon.
"Tell me about the symbols on his ring."
Langdon examined the familiar ring as they moved through the deserted passageway. Its face bore the image of a double-headed phoenix holding a banner proclaiming Ordo Ab Kau, and its chest was emblazoned with the number 33. The double-headed phoenix with the number 33 is the emblem of the highest Masonic degree. Technically, this prestigious degree existed solely within the Scottish Rite. Nonetheless, the rites and degrees of Masonry were a complex hierarchy that Langdon had no desire to detail for Sato tonight. Essentially, the 33rd degree is an elite honor reserved for a small group of highly accomplished Masons. All the other degrees can be attained by successful completion of the previous degree, but ascension to the 33rd degree is controlled. It's by invitation only.
"So you were aware that Peter Solomon was a member of this elite inner circle?"
"Of course. Membership is hardly a secret."
"And he is their highest-ranking official?"
"Currently, yes. Peter heads the Supreme Council 33rd degree, which is the governing body of the Scottish Rite in America." Langdon always loved visiting their headquarters, the House of the Temple, a classical masterpiece whose symbolic ornamentation rivaled that of Scotland's Roslyn Chapel.
"Professor, did you notice the engraving on the ring's band? It bears the words, 'All is revealed at the 33rd degree.'"